Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
You're in a good place now. You are listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back live to Live Your True Life Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. On today's show, we're going to be talking about the effects of the silent treatment on children and how that can impact us as an adult, right? So a lot of us are trying to figure out the situation and circumstances around the silent treatment. And recently on a lot of different social media outlets, we've been talking about it and trying to understand a little bit better about how this affects folks and how the effect of that actually can affect people throughout their adulthood and how it affects the relationships that we have. And so this can be a very interesting concept, a very interesting conversation that we're going to have today. And I feel like, you know, it really is a conversation because there's no judgment here. We're very open in our communication on this show. And so definitely want to talk about this. It was interesting. We posted on Facebook and, you know, and Instagram and LinkedIn and TikTok. And it was interesting because on TikTok, a lot of people were asking us the question, you know, hey, okay, we talked about the silent treatment and we brought it up. But, you know, what happens when that's what I know? That's what I know. That's what I go to. I don't want to start a fight. I don't want to have an argument. I don't want to get angry. I don't want to get abusive. I don't want to get physical. I don't want to yell and scream. So what do I do in the process of not doing that? And that's a really great question. And a lot of us don't realize that we have been basically conditioned to feel certain ways. We've been conditioned to see certain things. We've been conditioned to believe certain things. And a lot of times we don't realize that the conditioning does a lot to our selves, to our being, to everything in our life. And so today we're going to be talking about what the impact of that is as a parent from a child to a parent, but also how that impacts us as an adult. And also, you know, also what are some other options that we can do? What are some differences between the silent treatment and the cooling off period, and how can we make that work? So let's just dive in directly today. It's been interesting. Well, I hope everybody's having a great weekend, and I hope that people's weekends are good and comfortable, and we're getting some stuff done that we weren't able to do during the week. Today after the show, we're going to go back and do some video content and put some stuff out on different social medias to just get people involved in this conversation. If you are listening live, you're listening on the radio. If you're not listening on the radio, you might be watching the live feed on Facebook on Ashley Burgess. If you're on Facebook, you can just search up Ashley, B-E-R-G-E-S. So let's talk about this. I find that a lot of us are trying to figure out when it comes to children how to discipline, how to parent, how to be that person, how to be responsible. And how do we do this without harming our kids? How do we do this without creating contention? How do we do this in a way that they learn, but is not in a way that's toxic or painfully, tragically life-changing? And I think that a lot of times this concept is really kind of argued and is very much polarizing because people think, okay, if I give the silent treatment, some people think the silent treatment means, hey, I'm taking a break. I'm not continuing this argument. I'm going to calm down. I'm going to relax, and I'm going to take some time to really think things through. Others of us believe that maybe that's not necessarily the situation, as far as maybe that break is too long. Maybe the concept of that break is a really long time. Maybe that break is a day or two or three or a week or 2 weeks or 3 weeks, and that can go on and on. And I read some studies recently that were very interesting, and some folks that were studying the silent treatment, and one gentleman studying the silent treatment for about 38 to 40 years, and he studied it from the person receiving it to the person giving it, and had seen that the longest length of time that somebody had given the silent treatment was about 40-year period of time. So this can go on for a very long time. I've had clients that have told me how their wife or husband, you know, hadn't spoken to them in, you know, 3 or 4 weeks. Living in the same house, sleeping in the same bed, which I find really challenging to do so. I'm not really sure how they do that, but apparently people are able to do that. I don't think I could keep it up for a day. I mean, definitely I'd start laughing at some point if I caught someone's attention, but I just think that it's really interesting. But I understand how people get into it, and I understand how it becomes a way of life a lot of times because we've seen it, other times because it's a go-to, other times maybe because we feel that no matter what we say is going to be turned around on us. And sometimes also You know, it's the fact of just not realizing that we might have been conditioned into doing certain things that honestly are not probably to the best of our ability. So I understand that it's not physical. I understand that it's not screaming. And some parents are practicing this because they think it's the right way to deal. But, you know, I find that the silent treatment not only does a number on adults, because think about it, not just with children. And I know that this sounds random and wild, but when you think about it, many of you out there that are listening have been in the situation where you've had the silent treatment done to you as an adult. Perhaps you've had the silent treatment done to you from your spouse, right, your significant other. Maybe as an adult you've had the silent treatment done to you by a parent, maybe even a family member, aunt, uncle, grandmother, grandfather. Maybe the silent treatment done to you by a good friend and you can't understand it, you can't get over that. And I think that, you know, when I talk about it from this perspective, a lot of times you have people in multiple camps, right? You can't say there's one size fits all. Not everybody that's doing the silent treatment knows what they're doing and is doing it to hurt the other person and to, you know, put this power trip on top of them. You know, not everybody's coming from a narcissistic programming to try to power up and get the other person vulnerable. Some people are coming from the camp where they learned it, right? They learned it growing up. They learned it from mom or dad. They learned it from having it done to them. And maybe they didn't like it, but it became kind of second nature. It became the next direction. It became what happened, right? Some folks, you know, they use it because they don't know anything else to say. Maybe they don't know how to deal with their emotions. And sometimes that can be a really short-lived silent treatment. Other people, for example, maybe they feel like they're already badgered, made fun of. Maybe they feel like they're already being put down. Maybe they feel that they have already said everything they possibly can, and the person's yelling at them, screaming at them, or, you know, basically belittling them. Or the person could also be saying that they had done things that they hadn't done, and they keep trying to affirm their truth. And in the process of affirming their truth, they still can't seem to affirm their truth, and so they give up in responding. So there's a lot of reasons why it is done. There's a lot of reasons why we probably shouldn't do it, but there's also reasons why I can understand why people choose to do it in the safeguarding process. But we're going to explore all that today and kind of understand where that all kind of came from. I found that when we think about it from a child perspective and in the mother-father dynamic, it can make the child feel very powerless, right? And children already feel kind of powerless because they're small, right? They're young and they're small, and it can make a child feel intimidated. And then there's that guilt, right? And then that feeling of being insignificant. And I think that's interesting because children can get into all kinds of stuff, right? Children can do things that are not great. Children can do things that were just like, you're pulling your hair out because you can't believe the child did this, right? But the last thing we want to do, for the most part, is make them feel smaller than they already feel. And it's interesting because when a child gets the silent treatment, what I have researched and what I've seen is that they usually do something else. So they do something else to get a reaction, to try to get the parent to speak to them, right? To try to get the parent to have a conversation with them, to try to break it down, to try to get down and to remove the silence, doing anything to stop that silence. And I think a lot of it is the disconnection, right? Because as a child, and you know, children have that connection with their parents and that sort of thing. And, you know, some of you may say, hey, I had a really good upbringing. And some of you say, hey, my childhood was very tragic or challenging. And many of you might have experienced this because it does affect a child emotionally. And I think it does affect a child just as much emotionally as a verbal abuse does. So it's like when we take away communication and we stop the ability to communicate, that becomes an issue. Just as much as somebody was going to be verbally abusive and yelling and screaming and that sort of thing. And so I think it affects the person very similar, but it's just the complete opposite, right? So it's like, it's the complete opposite act, but yet it affects this just the similar way as it would be if somebody was verbally attacking someone. I also feel, though, interesting enough, and I do not agree with arguments and fights. I'm not. But that is not what I'm advocating on this show. But what I'm saying is that I feel like when we don't have communication, especially when we stop communication down to nothing, I don't think that we're ever able to find a solution. And I think that's what really is so challenging, right? Because if we don't find a solution or we can't come to a solution, what do we really have, right? So I also find, too, that people, just like children, have a tendency of kind of losing that will, right? That free will, that feeling of having the ability to make choices. And I also feel like children, just like the adults that the children become, right? I feel like they begin to let other people step all over them. Okay, so, and a tendency of dealing with you, you know, in a tendency of dealing with the situation of the silent treatment, it's very interesting because in that situation, they're trying to not only understand what's happening, but at the same time, the inability to be able to understand the process and the rejection piece. And I feel that when we deal as adults, those same children becoming adults, those same situations, is that there's that rejection piece, right? So a lot of times in life, when someone does give you the silent treatment, I think that many people would feel silenced, rejected, insignificant. And then there's people that would go away, right? So we break apart. We break apart from that person. We end up finding division and problem, just like the child with the parent, right? So, you know, the parent's supposed to be there for them, care about them, you know, be their parent. But in the process, when this happens of this magnitude, it begins to tear apart that fabric, right, and that connection. And so a lot of times, think about it, when you've had someone that has used the silent treatment on you, how did that really affect you? And then did that friendship, relationship, marriage, that bond, did that suffer? And I think that's a big deal. And I think you would have to say that the bond did suffer to some degree, if not completely severed. And I think that that's what we're kind of looking at. And I know some people say, well, hey, I don't have another way out of this. How do I deal with this? How do I understand this? How do I figure out another way? Then if I am giving the silent treatment to somebody, how do I change that and augment that to better the situation? And that's a great question. And we're going to talk about that here live on the show today, because there's always another way, right? And sometimes we don't realize there's always another way. And sometimes the other way is actually easier and more palatable than the ways that we've been using. And one of the things that I find interesting is that I feel like a lot of us don't speak our truth. So instead of saying exactly how we feel, like let's say we're in an argument, and let's say that we've been in an argument with this person multiple times, and sometimes things get resolved, and sometimes they just don't. And sometimes you just want to say something. Sometimes you just really want to be like, hey, you know, you're going off on something totally different. You're going on a totally different tangent, and this is not making sense. And sometimes you have to just take a break. Sometimes you have to literally step back and say, you know what? This argument's happening. I'm going to go take a break. I'm going to go do something else. I'm going to go somewhere else. I'm going to do something else, and I'll be back in X amount of time. And that can be very powerful when it comes to being able to let go from the situation that you're in, walk away from that situation, give a time limit to that situation, advising the situation, understanding that situation, and being able to see it for what it is. And that's so powerful. That is so powerful in the process. And so when we return, we're going to talk about more about that. We're going to talk more about the other things that we can use and the other things that we can impart to have some discussions, but also get to a solution. Also to be able to uncover, did we deal with childhood trauma, you know, from the silent treatment? How did that impact us in adult life, and what we can do to change that? So we got a lot of stuff going on. We got a lot of things happening, so it's going to be good. Got a lot of stuff to talk about. Don't change the channel. Live Your True Life Perspectives with me, your host, Ashley Burgess, will be back in. I'll be back this time in 2 shakes.
I hope you've enjoyed my history and lore tales here on Ashley's True Life Show. I know that there are many more amazing stories in your own family that we can discover in your tree. Hi, I'm Dan from Dancestors Genealogy. We take the hard part of discovering your family's past away from you by doing all of the research. You and your family end up with a beautifully bound heirloom book to view and enjoy. As a longtime genealogist, my staff and I know precisely where to look. We know what to look for and to preserve your story. So consultations with me are always free. Create your family heirloom book for Mother's Day, Father's Day, or next Christmas by talking with me, Dan, at Dancestors Genealogy. So please reach out today by going to our website, www.dancestorsgenealogy.com. That's dancestorsgenealogy.com, and fill out a contact request, and we'll get right back to you.
Why do you think bank presidents and jewelry store owners trust ADT to protect their homes and businesses? Because they feel safe, and you can too. How would you like to monitor your home from fire, floods, and yes, robberies, without even being there right from your smartphone? That is peace of mind. You may even save money on your homeowner's insurance just by having an ADT system installed. And there's even a money-back guarantee. How about that? We guarantee 100% satisfaction. You have nothing to risk. Why do you think people who have so much to protect trust ADT? Because it works. Call right now for a free quote. We'll even give you a free gift for calling. So pick up your phone and call Protect Your Home, an ADT authorized premier provider, now.
800-818-0191. 800-818-0191. 800-818-0191. That's 800-818-0191.
Every day we take steps to keep the people we love safe, but some health risks are easy to miss. Ticks hiding in the yard can spread germs, like the ones that cause Lyme disease. Mice searching for food can spread bacteria that makes us sick. Mosquitoes lay eggs in standing water and can spread West Nile virus and more. Cockroaches are drawn to water in the home, leaving behind allergens that can trigger asthma attacks. Common pests can threaten our health. Learn how to protect your family at pestworld.org.
Hi, this is Sophie Winnick, longtime distributor and user of Longevity products. In the last few years, my family went through a crisis. Everything else in my life, including my business, had to be put on the back burner. Thankfully, life is getting back to normal now. But the one thing I never had to worry about was my business and my monthly commission. I've been a distributor for Longevity for over 17 years, since before it was Longevity. And I've got to say, the most amazing thing about this company is the people. While my family was in crisis, other distributors stepped in and helped my customers, simply because that's what Longevity people do, even for people they don't know. For me, it has never been about getting rich. It was about a product I could stand behind, a company I could count on, and a monthly commission check that has never, not once, been late in 17 years. Longevity is truly a business for everyone, even people who have too much to do. I'm Sophie Winnick. I'm just like you. I have a real life, real ups and downs, but I know I will always have Longevity.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Get in here. You're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back live to Live Your True Life Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. On today's show, we're talking about the silent treatment, when we've gotten the silent treatment when we were a child, how it impacted us as an adult. And it's interesting because it does impact us, right? And a lot of times we don't realize how things impacted us as a child, and how they impact us into our adult years, into our marriage, into our relationship, all those good things. And so when we are a child, it's interesting, when we have received the silent treatment as a child, it makes us feel powerless, intimidated, you know, we feel guilty, insignificant. And as a child, the first few times that you experience that, you react, you're scared, you're fearful, you have anxiety, you're trying to understand why your parents are doing this, why is this happening, why are they not talking, what's going on? And it really does begin to affect the child mentally, very, very, very much. And so it's making them feel unwanted. It's making them feel insignificant. And when a child experiences the silent treatment, they will do really anything to stop it. Usually they will give in to the parent, whatever, you know, apologizing, doing whatever. And it has a tendency of the child losing their will, just like people feel like they lose their will, letting the other person step over them or avoid them, being ignored and rejected. And so that's the thing that's interesting, because I hear clients, and the other day I had a session, and the client, all they wanted to do was feel support in their life. All they wanted was support. They wanted support. That's all they wanted. They wanted support as far as when they're with their marriage, and they didn't get that, and so the marriage is over. They wanted support in their congregation. They didn't get that. They wanted support. So it's like a lot of us just want that support or that feeling of being involved or that feeling of being, you know, there or accepted. A lot of us, we hear about respect, right? If people want respect, some sort of respect. But when we're being ignored and we're being rejected, how does that impact us, right? And so as a child, it's going to impact us quite greatly, just like it would if we are an adult through the process. Interesting enough, though, if you did get that as a child, remember the reason why you're getting that silent treatment in the first place is because the parent's unhappy about something that you've done. They're trying to guilt you, just like they would with anything else, to get you to stop doing it, right? I mean, that's kind of the concept. But the problem is the silent treatment is a little different because I think there's part guilt, but there's part fear. And then there's part stuck because there's nothing to resolve it and you can't seem to have the conversation. And then it makes the child feel very insecure and fear of what's going on and what's happening. And why won't the mother or father talk to them? Why won't the mother or father begin the communication? There's that anxiety, but then we have that other side that leads to aggression, right? So it's very interesting because we can become very anxious or we can become very aggressive. And that's what happens with children and that's what happens with adults, right? And I'm not saying that every person that gives the silent treatment is a horrible person. I'm not saying that everybody that deals with the silent treatment is an angel. I'm just saying that in this aspect, we have to look at it from all these angles because it can lead to anxiety, it can lead to aggression, and it's an impact that we all feel. And that's what a lot of us are dealing with in our adult lives. You get married, you're in a relationship, you know, you're having that, you have an argument, and then one person begins either arguing or fighting, or the other person starts with the silent treatment, and it can be very triggering from your childhood, right? So I think that a lot of people that are very triggered by the silent treatment are triggered for a reason, right? It's not just because this just started. A lot of times it's because this is just a continuation from the childhood into the adult reality, and I think that that's what the... And it was never resolved as a child, right? So you never had... As a child, usually the child's never able to really communicate, calm down, and a day later say, hey, why don't we talk about this like calm adults here? It just doesn't really happen, right? It's usually a fight or flight, a fear moment, that sort of thing. And so definitely something that we really want to think about as we continue our discussion today, talking about how we, you know, deal with that from child to adulthood. And then what we can do, I think one of the biggest things that we're going to talk about is the difference between the silent treatment and the cooling off period here in this next segment. We're going to take a short break. We're going to discuss some stuff here, and then we're going to come back. We're going to talk about that. We're going to give us some tips and tricks on how to deal with that, ending the cycle of toxicity, and being able to kind of just see if we can get to a combination of communication. Live Your True Life Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back in. I'll be back this time. Two shakes.
I hope you've enjoyed my history and lore tales here on Ashley's True Life Show. I know that there are many more amazing stories in your own family that we can discover in your tree. Hi, I'm Dan from Dancestors Genealogy. We take the hard part of discovering your family's passed away from you by doing all of the research. You and your family end up with a beautifully bound heirloom book to view and enjoy. As a longtime genealogist, my staff and I know precisely where to look. We know what to look for and preserve your story. So consultations with me are always free. Create your family heirloom book for Mother's Day, Father's Day, or next Christmas by talking with me, Dan, at Dancestors Genealogy. So please reach out today by going to our website, www.dancestorsgenealogy.com. That's DancestorsGenealogy.com, and fill out a contact request, and we'll get right back to you.
USA Radio News with Wendy King.
Parts of 10 states and more than 11 million people are under blizzard warnings as snow falls across the Northeast. New York Governor Kathy Hochul.
This is not a time to be out there shopping.
Power outages are being reported in many cities, and thousands of flights are being canceled. In the thick of the storm, our very own Chris Barnes reports from Massachusetts.
Well, by sheer coincidence, the USA Radio News New England Bureau is located right in the crosshairs of this crazy storm. So I'm standing on the deck of our facility here, and I'm looking at snow that is blowing around, and we're only expecting it to get worse here. We've got a number of inches, but within the next few hours, it's supposed to pile up at about 4 inches an hour, and the winds are supposed to go from gusts currently of about 40 miles an hour to gusts of about 80 miles an hour.
This is USA Radio News.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork, you know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. That's 800-507-3137.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. ShopSuperTea.com.
Medicaid and CHIP offer free or low-cost health coverage for children and teens. Hospital and doctor visits, prescriptions, shots, and more are covered. That's peace of mind for parents if a child is sick or gets injured. And parents may now be eligible for Medicaid, too, even if they've applied in the past. Enrollment is always open. Visit InsureKidsNow.gov or call 1-877-KIDS-NOW. Paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
I need a tax preparer. How should I choose one?
Using a paid tax preparer this year? Before paying someone to do your taxes, make sure they're qualified. Ask about their fees, experience, and training. Check with the Better Business Bureau. Avoid anyone who promises a higher refund. And review your tax return before you sign it. And make sure your preparer signs it too. For more tips, visit IRS.gov and search Choosing a Preparer.
Turn it up and jump in the deep end on Perspectives. Now, here's Ashley.
Welcome back live to Live Your True Life Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. Glad to be back today. Today we've been talking about the silent treatment, getting the silent treatment as a child, enduring that silent treatment, and then dealing with it as an adult and how that impacts us, as well as the new relationships that we have, right? The marriages, the relationships, the brother-sister connections, all this stuff, our child and, you know, parent connections and how that impacts us. But right now I want to kind of segue for a second because a lot of people ask the question, you know, what's the difference between the silent treatment and the cooling off period? Because a lot of folks, okay, yeah, like we were talking on the break here in the studio about how the silent treatment can be used defensively and offensively, right? So if I'm trying to defend myself and I feel like the other person is berating me or calling me names or using forever ammunition, saying that I'm doing things that I'm not doing, and they've been doing this over and over and over and over and over and over again, and every argument we have is this way, and I don't ever win, and I don't ever get any ground, and nothing ever... I start... give up. There's nothing else to say. There's also some folks that might use the silent treatment more in a power aggressive way, right? So to get power over the other person, to make them feel small, to get them to do what they want them to do. Also, a lot of people that use the silent treatment learned it, right? They learned it from mom or dad, grandma or grandpa, whoever used the silent treatment. Some of us got it when we were children. We went through it, but we didn't continue the cycle. Others of us got it as a child, continue the cycle, right? So there's multiple reasons why this is being used. Okay. But one of the questions still remains. What is the difference between the silent treatment and the cooling off period? So, okay, there's two things to look at, right? To me, the silent treatment can last for several hours to several years. Okay, there's been studies of people that have done it for years. I mean, many of you listening to the show live or listening on the radio live, or you're listening on social media right now, maybe you might even have a family member, maybe an aunt or an uncle or a cousin that doesn't speak to the other family members and haven't spoke to them in years because, quite frankly, they know what they did. They know what they did, okay? And this stuff can last for lifetimes. It can divide up families. I mean, I know people that can't even have a real family reunion because people have taken sides based on the silent treatment and an issue that took place, and two people are no longer speaking, and then you're either in that camp or you're in this camp, and it's just, it's wild stuff. So the difference to me in a cooling off period is there's multiple levels of a cooling off period. First off, a cooling off period can last several minutes to several hours, maybe even possibly a few days. However, the difference between a cooling off period and the silent treatment is stating to the person exactly that you are needing a cooling off period. You need to process what is being said. You need to process your emotions. And you will get back to this person in XYZ time. That, to me, is a cooling off period. You're not just closing, shutting down. You're not just literally grabbing your stuff and running out of wherever you are, slamming the doors and, you know, hitting the accelerator in the car while the dust and dirt is flying back at wherever you left. No, you're actually giving a time limit. You're giving a time period. You're stating what you're doing, and you're taking the time to go do just that. That, to me, is a cooling off period. The silent treatment is much different than that, right? Because there is no, hey, guys, time out. By the way, I'm needing some time to really process here. No, none of that exists. So a silent treatment goes directly into silence. That's it. That is the mode of operandi. There is nothing. And then eventually, when that person decides to stop being silent, they will. If they do decide to stop being silent, it just really depends. So that's really the difference. And so what I'm saying here is that even if somebody is yelling or arguing with you, you still can sit there and state, I'm leaving. I'm taking time out. I am taking a cooling off period. I'll get back with you. And sometimes it can be challenging. I mean, you know, if you're dealing with someone that gets physical, you need to get out of there. And you got to also question it. If somebody's getting physical with you in a situation like that, you kind of got to think about the relationship in its own. Is this even worth dealing with? I mean, somebody's going to get physical. I mean, I've seen some wild videos from, you know, clients who have, you know, before they started working with me, sending me videos on email and all kinds of stuff where, you know, someone's grabbing on to the back of the truck, or somebody's grabbing on to the windshield wiper and being flown off the car, or, you know, somebody getting their foot run over, or somebody getting pinned into the garage when somebody accidentally put the car in drive. You know, it goes on and on and on. And it's like, if you're dealing with this type of behavior, do you really think that this is the best type of behavior to deal with? Do you really think that this is the best way of going about it, right? And do you believe that this person has your best at heart? Because to me, somebody that's going to get physical over a conversation is probably not somebody that you feel very safe with. And also, if you're having to shut down because you feel that that person is yelling and screaming and berating you and doing the forever ammunition and accusing you of things you haven't done, that might be a sign that it's time to also move on. So there's a lot of different caveats here, right? We have to think about this stuff, right? It's like, sometimes people allow abusive relationships because they were abused, you know, in their childhood. Think about it. Think about it. If you never had to deal, and this is like, I'm not talking about this is abuse, but challenges. If you never had to deal with somebody questioning you, like if you were raised in a family where no one questioned you and no one ever put you down, or no one ever, you know, was mean to you, or no one was ever yelling at you, or nobody was ever trying to tell you that you did something you didn't do. If you got into a marriage like that or a relationship like this, it would seem so foreign to you, right? You would be like, what am I doing? I must be in a foreign world. Like, what is this and what am I experiencing? Instead, most people have come from that in their childhood, right? We've experienced this type of toxicity. We've experienced this type of manipulation. You go into a relationship later on. It seems very familiar. See, that's the difference. Is the toxicity or the dysfunction, is it familiar? Is the dysfunction familiar? And that's a really good question, because if the dysfunction is familiar, you are destined to it to some degree until you become aware. So you're destined until you become aware. And that's always interesting, too, because a lot of times people don't realize that. They're like, why would I've ever gone into this relationship with this person? Why would I've ever entered into something like this? I mean, I must be crazy. I must be taking crazy pills, right? Well, it's like, but is it really taking crazy pills, or is it the fact that you're just kind of mimicking childhood and you found someone else that can also provide that for you? And it's interesting, too, when people awaken to the fact that they've either married mom or married dad. And that can be a very jarring, rude awakening. Okay. And I've had clients that literally go, oh, my God, oh, my God. And in the third session, I've married my mother. Oh, my God, I've married my father. Oh, my God, this is literally the clone. And I have not even seen it for 15 years. Now, have you not seen it, or have you subconsciously really kind of seen it, but you never wanted to look at it? Right. And so when that person's being mean or messing with you or pushing your buttons or making you question your value, it's a very interesting dynamic, because guess what? That was being done before in your childhood. You're used to it. Because if you weren't used to it, it would be totally really foreign for somebody to do that to you. You'd be like, whoa, time out. What is this again? What's this game? What is this? Is this gaslighting? Is this manipulation? What are you talking about? I mean, it would be so foreign. But when we've experienced it, growing up, it becomes commonplace, right? And so we're used to it. And we just go into another relationship being used to it in another relationship. And so I really think there is a difference between the silent treatment and cooling off period. I think that that's the definite truth. I think also, when we look at the concept of how a child connects with the silent treatment and how it impacts them versus how the adult is impacted by the silent treatment, that can be very challenging and overwhelming. And also, that same child that experienced the silent treatment from mom and dad, you know, when they get that impact in the adult dynamic, marriage, connection, common law, whatever that is, you know, it's interesting because some of them can also react similar to a child in some ways, like the arguing, the yelling, the crying, the screaming, trying to get the attention of the person to get them to at least begin to communicate, right? So that's the way it is. And then it can make you feel very anxious, and it can also make the other person feel very unsure of themselves. So very interesting stuff. And all this kind of leads to the lower self-esteem, lower self-worth, and it also causes a social communication issue, right? So if I'm used to not ever being able to finalize a conversation, if I'm used to not ever being able to really communicate with the other person and come up with a solution, and I'm used to constantly the argument just keeps circling around, right? The argument is here, it never gets solved, we fight, the fight ends up being about how I responded, it's about how I acted, it never gets solved, there is no solution, we do it all again, it's a cycle. If I'm used to that pattern in day-to-day life, and I'm used to that pattern growing up, I'm going to be used to that pattern later on. If I'm not used to that pattern, and I'm used to, like, solution, and I'm like, oh, okay, this happened, maybe it was right, maybe it was wrong, maybe I was to blame, maybe I wasn't to blame. If I was to blame, I've apologized for it, we've gotten past it, we found solution. If I'm used to that type of communication, then I'm not understanding other communication, right? So I think this is very powerful. And I think also the social communication is important, because I know that some people are going to fight and some people are going to yell and scream. And that's challenging, because some people never want to have. And then you have the other side where some people wants to avoid completely, right? The avoidance. I'm going to avoid at all costs. I don't want any argument ever. I never want to have an argument in my whole life. I never want to deal with this. I never want to have an argument. I'm going to avoid. And so those extremes are very polarizing. And I think that more of us are somewhere in the middle, right? But if you find yourself being that one that's yelling and screaming and not letting anybody get a word in edgewise, and you're not allowing anybody to say that you've done anything, that is definitely a sign that we need to start, like, kind of looking at our own actions and being a little more mindful, because there's something that's going on there. If we're running on the other angle, the full other level of complete avoidance, we also have to understand, too, where do we learn this? Think about it. Is this a learned response, or is this really you? And that's what's kind of interesting, is that when we start realizing that some of our communication styles and some of our ways of being are not really us, isn't that interesting? And doesn't that make you start questioning, like, why are you doing it? And does it have merit, or can it be changed because it wasn't you in the first place? It's not even your personality. I mean, that to me is very interesting. That to me is something that you can really think about. That to me is kind of powerful, because if I think that parts of me is not genuinely me, not authentically me, it's a learned response. That opens my eyes to realizing that if it's not me, and it's not me at the core, then why am I doing it? And then what can I do to change that behavior and pattern? And I think that a lot of us have these programs, a lot of us have these behaviors and patterns that we can change. It doesn't have to be exactly about this topic. It could be about a lot of things. Many of us could have learned as growing up that life is hard and everything's challenging and everything we do is challenging and everything's a challenge. And so we go through life feeling that way. Everything's so hard. Everything's so challenging. People will beat us down. People will do us wrong. You know, there's lots of different levels of thought here. Sometimes we go through and we're taught different things while we grow, and we learn those things. We intake those thoughts, and we digest them, and they become ours. But are they really ours? And I think we really need to look at that. Are the things that you've chosen in your life really yours? From your thoughts, to your likes, to your dislikes, to your religion, to your beliefs, to your politics, looking at all this stuff and analyzing, is this really me, or is this a regurgitation of my mother and father? Is this a regurgitation of what I've been told? Is this a regurgitation of society and societal situations, or is this really me? And you really got to look at it, because most of the time it's not. Most of the time it's learned responses, and we're not really living our life, and it's not until later on down the road that we sit there and say, what was I doing for all this time? Why didn't I take the time to really find who I am? You know, why didn't I really look for that? And I think this is, when we think about conflict, and we think about conflict resolution, this is what we're doing here, is conflict resolution. It's trying to figure out conflict resolution in the best desirable way, trying to get the most resolve. And the other thing, too, is that when we get resolved, things actually get done. The dysfunction begins to shift. But if we are dealing with solid dysfunction in a relationship where there is violence, where there is somebody that never takes responsibility for their actions, then we got to actually pay attention and say, am I willing to continue to walk down this path? What's coming from this? What is actually coming from the relationship? Is the relationship providing something? Is it providing happiness? Is it providing a healthy environment? Or is it providing this dysfunction where there is no solution? And the solution isn't there, and it seems like maybe both people are running on the same mental programming, or maybe one person is, and it's hard to get past that. It's hard to override that. And that's what's so valuable. When I return, I'm going to be talking more about just some tips and tricks of things that we can do, some things that we can do to override this, to find solution, to come up with the right solution, and also, better yet, to understand ourselves, because really, we are us, and we need to find that innate, authentic self, not what we were told to believe or what society told us to believe, but what we need to begin to see, and then seeing patterns within us that we can change and augment to make our life better and healthier. Stay tuned. Live Your True Life Perspectives with me, your host, Ashley Burgess, will be back in. I'll be back this time in 2 shakes.
What? What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
This is Jake Busey, and you're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back live to Live Your True Life Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. This is a great show today. We've been talking about silent treatment and the silent treatment versus the cooling off period. We've been talking about the impact of the silent treatment, how this can impact us, and what it can do. And so it's interesting because I feel like this is a subject that is very polarizing, and that's why we talked about it today to such great length, is because, quite honestly, there's a lot of reasons why it is used, there's a lot of reasons why it shouldn't be used, and there's a lot of things that could be done opposite from it. However, what I have seen, and this is something that I think many people can connect with, is that if we had the silent treatment given to us as a child, we either are so triggered by it that we can't ever deal with it, it's so triggering we can't ever have it around us, or we end up marrying into the same concept. And that's the thing. It's like we have to really think about that, because if we found ourselves in the same situation again and we're dealing with it again, we have to try to figure out how to break that cycle. Because if we've been dealing with it our whole life, you know, we either – I find it interesting because children kind of go one of two ways, right? When children deal with it, they either become very codependent on the parent, trying to get the parent to love them, trying to get the parent to see their value, doing anything they can to get out of the silent treatment. The other group of kids will retaliate and rebel. And so when you think about that, the group that has rebelled, you know, like, they don't want anything to do with it. Those are folks, too, that when people try to give them the silent treatment, a lot of times they will lose it. They will walk away. The other group that has suffered with it as a child and then went back into a marriage situation with it, you know, those folks really have a tendency of having that low self-esteem, that low self-worth, feeling overwhelmed, feeling under-believed, undervalued, underloved. And those are the things that we really need to think about. So, you know, again, we got to see the cycle patterns. We got to see the programs in our own life. We have to see the programs in our own actions and attitudes, right? We have to see the programs and the actions and attitudes of the people that we're in a relationship with, husband, wife, even the family dynamic, and realizing what can we do to make changes. Because really the buck does stop here, right? Because we can augment anything, even though somebody might be out of control. Even though somebody might be doing things, in the end, we can continue to stay in that relationship or we can move on. Now, I'm not advocating everybody to get divorced and move on, but I'm saying we have to get to that point where we say, okay, what am I willing to deal with and what am I not willing to deal with? And what do I want to discuss and what do I want to bring to the table and what am I shine some light on to make some changes? And that's what's important. And so it's really up to us to find solution. It's up to us to begin to see the patterns in the programming and the situations and the part that we play. It's also very valuable to see people in your life honestly and see the part that they play. And realizing that it does take two to tango, right? And understanding what is it that I can change or augment, or what is it that I need to change, or have I, or do I need to leave, or is there something that I can do to make this right? And I think that those are the thoughts that we all need to have and think about things, because we all want to grow, we want to learn, we want to feel better about ourselves. And in that process, we need to be around people that we build up and that build us up. We need to be around people that we can find solution with and have great common ground and connection with, as well as being able to, you know, have those uncomfortable discussions without having these huge, massive fights and having some sort of solution. And I think this is valuable. So I appreciate everybody for listening, whether you're listening on the radio or you're watching on Facebook right now. I appreciate you tuning in. And if you haven't already, check out the website. Go to AshleyBurgess.com, AshleyBurgess.com. Also, you can find me on Facebook, Ashley Burgess. You can also find us on Instagram, Ashley Burgess. And we just started a new TikTok account, and you can find me at Life Coach Ashley Burgess, and you can find me there. So definitely, and also if you'd like to reach out, you can go to AshleyBurgess.com, AshleyBurgess.com. Click on that contact page, and you just click on it. It just says a contact at the top on the homepage, and just click on it, and there'll be a little thing that you can fill out for an email, and you can just send me an email, and I will respond ASAP. Just put the email address in there that I can connect with you with, because if it's not one I can connect with you with, it will never get to you. So definitely remember that. And I'd love to hear from folks if you have need some help, some suggestions, some advice, if you'd like to start working with me, or you have an idea for a topic, or even an idea of a product that you're working on that you think can help people or better people's lives, definitely reach out. We will be back next week. Tune in and appreciate you listening. Have a great rest of your weekend and live your true life perspectives with me, your host, Ashley Burgess, will be back in. I'll be back this time in 3 shakes.
It is interesting to see how the subjects on Ashley's True Life show and current events so often correlate with past events. As Ashley says, history often repeats itself. Our Dan Sisters genealogy research comes across great stories from the past that tie to families and our shared history regarding what happens in our country and our community. Dan Sisters clients have had ancestors that were colonizers, explorers, founders of religions, gunslingers, kings and queens, knights, pirates, heroic soldiers, witches, and witch hunters. Let's find out who the characters are in your family tree. So please reach out today by going to our website, www.dancestorsgenealogy.com. That's D-A-N-C-E-S-T-O-R-S genealogy.com, and fill out a contact request, and we'll get right back to you.